You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
This is Love's a Pitch, a podcast that's basically just old school personal ads, but in audio form and longer and with a host and more gay. I think when personal ads probably first existed, they were pretty straight, right? But also, I imagine that in more progressive cities, if you did have a gay one, you would be cleaning it up. But also, that'd be terrifying because safety. Anyway, I'm your host, Carolyn Bergier. Today's guest, our pitcher, is no stranger to podcasts, and I had a lot of fun getting the chance to dive deeper into her dating life and history, and I hope you enjoy learning more about her and all that good stuff, too. So let's just get right to it. West Coast cuties, pay extra attention because pitching today is Los Angeles-based Lauren Flans. Hi.
Oh, man. Hi. That already, just that intro made me so fiercely nervous.
Oh, should I not be? Are you not into cuties? I should have cleared.
No. Just okay, hearing the words West Coast, Los Angeles based, pitching, just all of that.
Yeah.
But that's good because I feel like being anxious is a so significant part of my personality. So it's good that I'm like in the zone.
Well, with that, I think we should just get right into it. But first, let our listeners know how you identify.
Oh, sure. My pronouns are she, her. I still say gay. I'm one of those people who says gay instead of lesbian. I have no issues with the word lesbian, but gay is just what flows naturally out of my mouth. Queer is also good, but I'm very like into specificity and not being misunderstood and people knowing exactly what I mean. So I do default to gay. And I'm a cis woman as well.
Cool. Are you ready? You have 1 to 2 minutes to tell our listeners why you're a catch.
Holy crap. Yeah, I mean, let's do this. Okay, we're starting. I am funny. I'm a funny person. I will keep you entertained. Speaking of entertained, I am self-entertaining. I am an only child, which I know is like a huge red flag for a lot of people, and fair. But because of that, I'm very, I'm super comfortable being on my own, autonomy, all that good stuff. For that reason, I have also notably been single for a lot of my life. Some have called me picky. I prefer to think of it as selective and so comfortable on my own that I do not need to, you know, compromise things that are very important to me to find a partner. I would love to have a girlfriend. Do not get me wrong. That would be dope. 10 out of 10. But I'm also very cool and chill being on my own. And so I have been for most of my life because, I don't know. I think if I were like, younger and hipper, I might use words like demi-romantic to identify. I think I might be somewhere along that spectrum. What else? I'm a really good listener. Yep. I'm a volunteer for the LA LGBT Center. It's important to me to give back. I have a really cute dog. I know, like, everyone thinks their dog is cute. My dog is legitimately, like, really, really cute. I think I'm pretty smart. Are people into that? I feel like that's kind of... I'm like a writer-actor, but if I'm being honest, I'm pulling away from that. So if you think that's cool, hey, I'm a writer-actor. If you're like, absolutely not, guess what? I'm kind of leaving that whole thing. So either way, you win. Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
I mean, I think we got across some important points. Funny, smart, cute dog, kind.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places we can go with this. First, though, you're pulling away from acting and writing. Do you know what you're pulling toward?
I'm like trying to choose my words carefully because it's not. I've been volunteering for the center, for the LA LGBT Center. I facilitate their social groups. So like it's like moderating, but we call it facilitating. And I've been doing that for like just over, I think I just hit 5 years this month. And it was put out to me a while ago. I was sort of asked, like, hey, is this ever something you'd be interested in doing, like, as a job? And I kind of not fully surprised myself because I'd talked it over with my therapist. Ooh, that's another I should have said this in my pitch. I've been in therapy for, like, at least a decade. So there you go. But anyway, so I'd sort of been, like, talking about stuff like that to my therapist about like, am I looking to maybe make a big shift in my life? But they asked me if I'd ever be interested in like an actual position. And I was like, yeah, I would. And so nothing has happened yet. I have not been like offered a position. It's not like maybe I'm just going to be one of those people who like works in nonprofit. I don't know. It sounds so fucking crazy. I literally only ever thought I'd do like creative acting writing stuff for my whole life. So this is like, it's a big shift. If it happens.
Yeah. I mean, then maybe I shouldn't ask this follow-up question, but I'm kind of curious. Do you ever meet potential dates through the center, or is that something that you're not supposed to do?
Listen, no, it's totally fine within like co-working. And I did, there was this girl facilitating. Also, I should clarify, I say girl all the time. Like, I should say, like, woman or something, but I just, like, don't. So please excuse my very, like, I will refer to everyone as a girl, and I apologize for that. But there was this woman who was a facilitator when I first came in, and I, like, really, really liked her. And we went on, I think, like, 2 dates, and then she moved to San Francisco to go to grad school. So like right when I met her, she was like, I'm moving in a month and a half. And I was like, ew. So we went out a couple of dates. And other than that, I don't think I've ever met anyone through the center, but I certainly could. In terms of participants in the group, that's where it's like a hard line for like, hey, don't date people who you're facilitating, you know, emotional and vulnerable conversations for.
But I imagine that some of them probably have crushes on it, like the therapy thing, how some people
transfer or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or also, yeah, that and also just because I'm so charismatic and charming. I have had a couple of reach outs in that regard. And I just always say, like, I'm so flattered. The center has a policy for their volunteers that we're not meant to socialize outside of the groups with participants. But I think you're great. Hope to see you in group. Like, so I have like a thing that I say.
That's a great policy to have.
It's a good policy. It's also, I mean, it's inevitable that like you see participants on dating apps. You just do. That's the dating pool. You know what I mean? So like it's gonna happen.
Have you ever seen those posts on dating apps that are like somebody's a therapist and then they have a disclaimer that's like, if you're my client and you want to talk about seeing this in your session, we can do that.
No, but wow, I love that. That's so modern.
If I came across my therapist, I mean, I assume she's straight, but I would scream. I would scream. I know nothing about her and I want to keep it that way.
Jump off a cliff. Yeah, yeah. Just an absolute nightmare. My therapist is in her, like, I assume 60s. She is a wonderful straight white woman with three kids. And I'm like, yes, walk that middle road. I love it. Hear about all my weird outside the box shit that you can handle because you're just like very normal. But I did, wait, this is great. My last building that I lived in, I did not know this until I moved it. I maybe had like a sort of an inkling when we did the walkthrough tour, but my building manager was queer and very cute. But I lived on the second floor and she lived on the first floor. So every time I think it was the Her app, she would always pop up first if she was online at the same time because our proximity was like 30 feet. So I'd always have to get off the app super. I'd be like, fuck. I don't want her to know this much about my life. But it was so funny. So yeah, that's the closest I've come to an awkward, like, you don't need to know business situation. Yeah.
And that's another thing. You're a podcaster.
I am a podcaster, yes.
Tell the listeners about your podcast.
I sure will. So I have a I co-host a podcast called Coming Out with Lauren and Nicole. It is a queer coming out podcast. And basically, folks come on and they tell Nicole and I their coming out stories. And in the past couple of years, we have broadened sort of, which I'm sure you know, when you do a podcast for a very long time, at some point you're like, what if we'll spice it up a little. So we still
This is going to turn into a Satan worship podcast any day now.
We're halfway there already. But basically, coming out stories are still our bread and butter, like the bulk of most of our episodes. But we typically, first half coming out story, and then we kind of segue into just all things queer and queer adjacent and anything the guest would like to talk about, anything that's currently going on. But we wanted to give ourselves more space to just be like a more generalized queer podcast, unless the guest has a coming out story that is like fucking off to the races, like very, you know, like, oh, we've never heard anything like this. Is that sometimes we'll still have episodes that are like an hour plus of just the story. But usually we're talking more queer stuff in general. And we've also started doing more kind of like specialized episodes where, for example, when the latest Dave Chappelle episode came out, we did a whole episode just talking about that. So just if there's like a big thing a better example, we just dropped our Black Queer History episode because we're like, it's Black History Month. We're going to do an episode on slightly more under the radar Black queer figures who we personally kind of like really like and feel like more people should know. So we're giving ourselves more leeway than just coming out stories.
So is it an episode about Oprah?
Yeah, it's exclusively about Oprah.
About Oprah and Gail and their love story.
It's a whole episode. It's 3.5 hours
They don't
long,
talk about
so
it enough
it
in queer history.
No. Contacted her, never got a reply, but we're hopeful. We're hopeful.
Listeners, it is a great podcast. I really enjoy.
You've been on it and you co-hosted with me when Nicole was on Pregnancy Lead.
Yes, yes. So much fun. It really is a fun podcast. Now, I bring that up because two things. And just because I've dealt with this is like if you're going on a date, do you hope that they haven't listened to you on the podcast? And then also when you're on an app, do you check to see if the person knows who you are just to make sure they're not like an avid listener?
These are very good questions. I'm not currently on the apps, but in the past, I mean, God bless you for thinking that we are prominent enough that that would be like a concern for me. I've never really, that hasn't really like occurred to me as a thing. And also, I'll be honest, like, I actually think it would be cool if someone was a listener because I think that I don't mind somebody having a sense of who I am before going on a date. It's not like a requirement. Like, I'm totally fine with fix-ups where somebody knows nothing about me or back when I was on the apps, like just stuff like that. But I never mind it if someone has a little more intel because I am very like, I tend to be over confessional. I mean, look, I said within like 5 seconds of this episode that I'm an anxious person. Like, that's how I roll. Like, I will just sort of like say information about myself because I feel it's important for people to know the kind of person who I am. So if someone has listened to like the main thing in my life that I do and talk on, like that's gravy. Like, yeah, I'm all for that. But again, not a requirement by any means.
That makes me wonder how much, if you're meeting someone, let's say, off the apps, how much research do you try to do into them beforehand? Do you like to know nothing, or are you like on their LinkedIn?
I'm not savvy enough to, I've done that a couple times for people. If it's like, if they put their Instagram or something, I'm obviously going to look at the stuff they put there. I'm not like a purist in that respect. But I'm not really, my detective skills are not good enough that like without a last name, I can sort of like really squirrel out anybody. I've poked around. I think I find a middle ground. I poke around. I think that's more deciding if, this is how I work. I think that's more deciding if I'm going to match them or not, as opposed to like before an actual date. So like if that process is going into work, it's just me deciding, which I think is why I say I would maybe identify somewhere on the demi spectrum if I were in search of more labels. Like no one should put that much work into just swiping, but I do.
Yeah. Well, you said that you are very selective.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think is a really, like, maybe the smallest or pettiest reason that you've stopped seeing someone?
Oh, that's a great...
Not that it has to be petty, but if there was something, yeah.
And, you know, this is where I should mention, so I was on an episode of Dyking Out a while ago that was called Bad Lesbian, because it's all about how I am not very good at being a lesbian. And one of the things... One of my things that I am not a good lesbian about is I don't think astrology is real.
That's right.
It is hard to move in these circles with that belief. But I do remember one time, and this was a fix-up, not from an app. So it was like we had a mutual friend, and the friend was closer to the girl I was being fixed up with than she was to me. But this girl, who was lovely and funny and smart and great and successful, and they were a cool person. It just like wasn't a romantic match, which I knew pretty quickly into it. But I do remember that like they were a little late. Whatever, it's LA. Everyone is fucking late everywhere. Traffic is a nightmare and there's no parking. But she came in and she was like, she said something like, I'm so sorry I'm late. Like, oh, God, such an Aquarius. Like, so easy breezy with it. And I was just like, and it's not just the mention of astrology. It's just like, no, that's not why you were late. Like, you're not late because you were an Aquarius. You're late because this is a low stakes fix up and you didn't care super bad. And that's okay. Like, you weren't late because you're an Aquarius. Just like, if people have fun with astrology, it's like, fine. Godspeed, God bless. But when people are leaning on it for personality traits, and in many cases, like, just like actual emotional, like, things in their life, it's like, I gotta draw a hard line. As someone who is a big fan of therapy, no, that's not why you are the way you are. It just isn't. That's my, I guess, petty, just troublesome within our community sticking point. I just alienated 40% of the audience easily. Easily.
That's good, though. That's the 40% that it's not going to work out.
We're not a match. They're not going to like me. They're not going to like me.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Let's talk about therapy a little bit. Something that I've been talking about some of my friends with lately is this feeling that therapy has gone too far. Now, I'm someone who's in therapy 3 times a week,
which might
be evidence that therapy has gone. Yeah.
Damn.
I go by myself twice and then couples once. And honestly, I don't have like you would think that I have some pretty serious trauma in my background. I don't.
No, I just think you got that money. I think you're doing well.
My wife has good health insurance. Yeah, it's a very small copay. I'm lucky. I'm fitting in all the therapy while she has this job.
Bank
right.
it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I'm just...
Mm-hmm. Bank it up. You're hoarding therapy. I love it. I fucking love it.
But I do feel like sometimes it's gone too far in a way that I feel like it can almost be, I don't know, weaponized is maybe like too extreme of a word. 100%
agree. I totally agree with you. Yep.
I feel like people are assholes and they chalk it up to boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I believe in boundaries and mm-hmm. I think boundaries are great. But I've just seen too many people. And for me, like in friendship, like I had somebody who was a very, very close friend of mine. And there was like a sticky situation and they didn't want to be involved in it. It's basically like they put themselves in a position where they were kind of like responsible for something. It was like a friend, but I did comedy stuff with them. And then they're like, I don't want to be involved in this. But I'm like, but that's kind of your role. And then they're like, I asked you to respect this boundary and you couldn't. I'm like, but it was literally your job.
Yes. Same thing happens with self-care, with the concept of self-care has kind of turned a corner where it's like, that's not self-care, that's negligence that you're calling.
Yes.
So yeah. So I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think part of the blame for that is platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, like stuff like that, where it's kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, this is a thing also with words like toxic and gaslighting, which are words that we need because we need them for situations for which they are accurate. But when that shit gets sort of spread, watered down so much to the point, like a lot of times people are like gaslighting and I'm like, no, that's lying. Like gaslighting is a specific thing. And like toxic, it's like, no, you misspoke. You mean shitty. Like these are different. So I do think, and I should say that I do kind of pride myself on like, so I've been in therapy for a very long time, but I actively like, I work at it. Like I'm really trying and I do feel like I have, it's not just like you go and it's like, check, like you gotta work on that shit outside of therapy.
Right.
And like, you gotta like really, and I do think that some people are not necessarily doing that part of it.
Right.
I'm very big on self-awareness. I feel like I've probably even said that phrase previously since we've been talking. But like, yeah, I think the thing that freaks me out the most about like, especially people who are like checking all the boxes is like when people have a lack of self-awareness, I'm like, ugh, that just like really, really creeps me out because I feel like I just like can't get a bead on what their deal is. And yeah. I do think that some people are using like the machinations of therapy and all that stuff, but yes. are just still walking around not knowing themselves and wreaking havoc.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. They know the vocab. They yes. they follow the Instagram accounts. Yep. And
so they can fool you initially, especially right. If you're sort of like, I like this person. Yeah. Then it's like, oh, no. I have had that happen. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Try to watch out for that.
Let me know if this is too personal a question, but what do you think therapy has helped you the most with?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think a big thing, it's like such a cheesy answer, but like it's helped me with parent stuff and like letting go of, sure. I think my relationship with my parents has gotten a lot better. And being like, okay, I do think I can trace some things to my upbringing stuff. But see, again, okay, so that's part one. And then part two is like being able to like let go of that and not blame everything on it. And like, even if like a certified adult is sitting across from me going, yes, your parents fucked you up in this way. The goal isn't to be like, aha, now I can use this for the rest of my life for like everything I'm shitty. And like, then the goal is like, okay, how do I like work through that and let go of it and still love these people and not let it affect my life moving forward because I have that awareness of what it is. So I think that in that respect, it's been really helpful. And just on like a personal or on a dating level, because we talk about relationship stuff and like I talk about how I'm like, you know, not with somebody and haven't been for a really long time. And I'm constantly like, am I a sociopath? Like, am I like a Cylon? Like, why am I okay? Like being alone and I see other people not. So I think in that respect, it's just she has helped me really sort of understand how I function on my own, what I'm looking for, but what I might want, but not necessarily need, and has made me feel comfortable. I used to bristle a lot when friends would be like, you're going to have to like, I don't know if they ever actually said lower your standards, but they would say like something along those lines, like, Lauren, if you want to be in a relationship, then you're going to have to like lower your standards or like stop being so picky or like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, no, no. You have to do that if you want to be in a relationship very much. For me, I would love to be in a relationship, but it is not like super high up on my list of needs in my life. So I actually don't have to compromise or lower my standards or blah, 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 unless it becomes a thing that is incredibly important for me to have. So that was a very... Patty, my therapist, shout out to Patty, says it better than that. But like, she has gotten me to understand, like, I'm not single because I'm some weird, like misanthrope or whatever. It's just because it's not. Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's got to fit into what I guess I'm looking for. It's got to be somebody, not somebody. Ooh, I just quoted Stephen Sondheim. Is that a good selling point? Yeah.
Always in my book. So what are you looking for? What's your ideal vision of a girlfriend?
I think, oh, God damn it. Rachel Weisz, as I said in my, I filled out my sheet and I was like, Rachel Weisz or the girl who plays Shelby on The Wilds. But outside of those two, the older I get, the more it really does become important to me that someone is kind. Like, and I feel, that feels so like saying it, but it really is like, because there's a lot of things that are important, but I think some of the things that I am attracted to do not necessarily go hand in hand with the person who is kind. because I could definitely be attracted to sort of like a dynamic, like very, like, charismatic and, like, sort of balancing out my, like, how do I say this?
You're into narcissists? What?
Oh, God, I hope not, but kind of a little, probably. And I'm, again, I think that's also why I've been single for so long, is I identified patterns of what I'm attracted to and the people I was getting involved with. And it was like, okay, Lauren, until you sort this shit out, you're not dating anymore, because you are doing the same things. I am attracted to, yeah, very dynamic people, but who... a lot of that is self-focus and less self-awareness and more just like self. And so I think I had to identify that and be like, well, I can't flip a switch and not be attracted to that anymore. What I can flip a switch on is not getting involved with that anymore. So I think as I work through that, and I am finding more and more that, thank God, is becoming like kind of more of a turn off when I encounter it, then like a, let me run towards that at full speed. And going hand in hand with that is me realizing like, oh, I really do need someone who is fundamentally a kind person. I would love that to be wrapped in like a snarky, dynamic, charismatic package. But the core of it is just gotta be a real kindness and heart there. Yeah. And for the people who I have dated, I do think, because one of them I'm actually, I became very close to friendship-wise during the pandemic. And I knew this as I was dating her. I got her too early. I was young and she was younger than me. And it was like, I think sometimes I see the potential in somebody that isn't there yet. And it's like, now she is that fully realized potential. She's also got two kids and a whole life now. You know what I mean? But it's like, but I saw that in her when she was like 23, 24. And it's just, she wasn't there yet. And so we had a very sort
right.
of, yeah. And so I think that's a nice way of me framing it, is like, I'm so giving that I see the best in people and I date them before they've achieved that best and they still kind of suck. So, yeah. This is a good time to mention, I also definitely, I've worked on this a lot, but I used to get involved predominantly with straight, or in quotes, straight women. So that's something I've had to work on a lot. And I also tend to be attracted to people who are younger than me, often significantly, which Patty has gone over with me as well, which has to do with all kinds of arrested development shit, or like where you know, it's all fucking, it's all, there's right, all right. reasons for this. So I can identify it. Again, it doesn't mean I can stop feeling it, but I've at least stopped being like, let's go for that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get more of a handle on my whole deal. I don't want a Leonardo DiCaprio out here, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. I feel like in LA, it's hard to know how old anybody is.
That's the other thing. And people tend to, because of the career path that like I was in, still sort of am in, whatever, people think that I'm younger than I am. And so it's, and I never lie about my age, but I definitely don't like necessarily volunteer it. And I think my lifestyle right. is younger than most, because right. like, and the people I hang out with, the same deal. Like, I have very few friends who have kids. And that is, yeah. like, not super common. I don't even have that many friends who are married. So I'm sort of living, and I'm encountering younger people. So that's sort of, like, the pool I'm looking from. But the danger with that is then it's like, oh, these are people who are near the beginning of their journey. And that is not necessarily conducive to all the things that I've been talking about that I've realized I need, or like I'm kind of further along on. So see how I said I was over confessional? I feel like I've just like said so much stuff where it's like, you didn't need to say that, Lauren. But I did. And now it exists forever.
I know there's a term for it, but there are academic studies that are like the most successful job candidates are the ones that you're the most real with during the interview.
Oh, great.
So like it, like if a job is like holding back parts of the job or like misrepresenting it, that person doesn't stay at the job for that long. But if they're fully transparent and give too much information, that person, the candidate, the applicant, stays around for a while. So I think,
and it will be a job to date me. Let's be yeah? very clear about this. So it's good.
What are your quirks?
What are my quirks? Jesus, have they not all been a parent during this one? I think I have a really weird combination of anxiety and chillness. I know that sounds so bizarre, but I think, like, I definitely have anxiety. I take anxiety meds. Like, I have anxiety. But I think I can also have a weird full spectrum opposite of that that is sort of like very chill and laid back. And it's those things operate bizarrely together, I think. So good luck negotiating that paradox. I'm trying to think. I'm like, what have exes accused me of? Oh, I definitely have. I have a fixer personality. So I said I'm a good listener. I am. But I need to remember, also while I'm facilitating groups for the LA LGBT Center, I sometimes need to be reminded that sometimes people just want to be heard and they just want you to right. listen and validate them. And you don't always need to try to fix what good their advice. Issue is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I definitely in the past have had girlfriends be like, can you just like slow down? Like, I'm just like expressing a feeling. You don't need to right. present like three solutions that you thought of while I was talking. So
right.
I'm sure that's irritating.
I should write this down for myself somewhere just to remind me to work on that.
It's hard, right? It's hard. You want to be helpful.
Right, right.
I'll say one quirk that's like a very modern day circumstantial quirk right now is I am part of the teeny tiny minority that is still really, really COVID conscious. So I'm still like only doing stuff masked and like outside and stuff like that, which I know is rare. So I'm still doing a ton of stuff virtually. And like that's also, I mean, that's part of why I haven't been dating as well. Although I think I take big long breaks from the app. So I don't know how much that is part of it. But one of the reasons I was on them for a little bit. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not going to like meet up with anybody in a bar. Like, what am I doing? What's the point of this? So yeah, so I should be candid about that. I think that's worth talking about. And then just like my dog is probably always going to be number one. Let's be real. So you got to be okay with that. You're going to be competing with Piero.
I had a question that was a hypothetical situation. You meet your dream woman. Mm-hmm. Your dog doesn't like her.
Oh, that would be it would never happen. He's a prince. He's a ball of light. If he didn't like somebody, then that would mean like they have a black heart and he would be trying to protect me. So I think we're okay.
What if she doesn't like him?
Oh, fuck her. No, no, no. That's a deal. But no, no, no. I was once dating. I had, before Piero, I had a bunny. He was beautiful and perfect. And I had the girl I was dating at the time. She came over once and she was like, she wasn't like, fuck this bunny. But she was like, not really impressed by the bunny. And looking, but in retrospect, I was like, God, that's when I should have known. That's when I should have known. She should have been head over heels for this bunny. She should have been like, my God, I am a changed woman. And she was just like, oh, he's cute. No, I should have been like, out. That's a red flag. So if anyone doesn't love my dog, that will be a problem.
What's the longest you've been in a relationship with somebody?
Yeah, this is another probably like red flaggy thing. Like a year and a half.
Okay.
Not crazy long.
That's significant.
Yeah. I mean, in lesbian years, that's really long. Oh, but also, see, I've never lived with someone. I've definitely done the thing where it's like we're at each other's places all the time, but I've never officially lived with somebody, which is also highly unusual.
I mean, I think those are both good things.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think they're, I kind of joke. I don't think they're red flags. I think that people perceive them as such when you like haven't had many relationships, haven't had long relationships. I do think for me it's that I know myself very well. I know what I'm looking for. I've said like 1,000 times already just in the time we've been talking, it's not super necessary for me to be with somebody. So I think that there are reasons that are actually healthy for all the things I'm saying, but I do know that they are very uncommon. Not just for someone in my age range, but also in our community specifically of queer female identifying folks. These are uncommon traits. So,
yeah, I mean, I think when people move in together, sometimes then if they should break up, they don't break up and they stay together longer than they should, because moving and having to find a place to live, like, that is such a horrible process that people will avoid at all costs. And then also you could look at it as, okay, a year and a half, like they say, you fail fast. Like, if something's not going to work out, you're not going to drag it out longer than it
needs
to. I
really will not. Yeah. Yeah.
But counter to that.
Bring it. Drag me.
Do you think maybe you bail on things too soon?
No, I think maybe I disallow the possibility of things existing. But I don't think I have ever bailed on an existing situation too soon. Does that make sense? So I think I could write people off just because I know very quickly what I'm attracted to and what I feel like a click with, which is so hard in terms of, like, if it's like an app or a setup or somebody who you're not going to see around. Because I do think there's a world where it's like, I might be like, nah, and then later be like, oh, wait, if that person hung around in my life. But that hasn't really happened in this situation. It's like I've been on a lot of first date app dates, I'll put it that way. And then I just like haven't seen those people again. So who knows? Yeah. So I think I make very kind of quick judgments in that moment. And those are people who maybe there could have been something with, if we'd like run into each other later or something, but that just hasn't happened in my experience.
Have you ever gone on a date with somebody and you were really feeling it and you're like, oh my gosh, we have a connection, and then you don't hear from them again? Or like something that was like, where something ended in a way that really left you scratching your head?
Yeah, definitely. So the first app date I ever went on, I wasn't like, oh my God, I love this person. But I really thought there would be a second date. And they never texted me back after my charming post-date text. So that was when I was like, oh, this is what app dating is. Like, oh, I see. So that was like a good first introduction to it. Because I wasn't head over heels, but I was like, yeah, I'd try this again. And they were like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting.
So you didn't hear back at all? Or did they say?
No, you know what? It was like we hugged a goodbye or whatever. And this was like a midday like coffee date, which I think have since learned, like back when I was like doing apps more regularly, I was like, I want to usually go for like an evening, have a drink thing. That just sort of makes me more comfortable, and I think sets a more, like, you can tell if there might be a spark there than, like, you can when there's, like, daylight and coffee. Like, I don't know. That's just, like, but at the time, I was,
like, networking. Yeah.
Yes. But at the time, like, she had swiped on me first, and so she had suggested, like, and I was, like, yeah, sure. And we had, like, hugged goodbye or whatever, and she'd been, like, yeah, you know, I'm around. And I thought that that was, like, oh, I'm around, like, whatever. And that was a brush off. I learned, because I texted her, you know, like had a fun time. Here's a funny inside joke about a thing we talked about, and just like never heard back, which for the record, I think is fine. I don't think that's ghosting. I feel like people are throwing the word ghosting around the same way we were talking about words like boundaries and gaslighting and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, that's not ghosting. Like, she didn't text. She's got to send me a text being like, ha, 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 to that inside joke. I'm not interested in seeing it. Like, whatever. When someone asks me out, I always send a thing because, again, I'm fucking over-confessional and super transparent and like, blah, blah, blah. But I don't get mad when other people don't do it. I just want to go on record saying that because I feel like we're playing pretty fast and loose with the term ghosting. Which is shitty when it's done authentically, but like that, she didn't know
right.
me. She didn't owe me a follow up text. Like, it was fine. And I'm trying to think if there's ever been a thing where I've been like really, really into somebody and they were like, that's a no from me. That's definitely happened countless times before it's gotten to like a date as an unrequited interest / crushes. But I don't think there's ever been like a dating situation where I've been like, I mean, kind of that girl who moved to San Francisco, because I was like, let's just like fast track this shit for the next month and a half. Like, let's have fun. And she was like, I'm packing. Or like, she just like, we went on 2 dates that I thought were like really fun and great. And then she just sort of like, but like, she was moving. I'm not, you know, I don't know. I have zero issue with asking people out. I ask people out all the time. I've left my number for like bartenders and waitresses and servers when I feel like there's maybe a vibe. Like, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm not like a shy in that respect person. So you get rejected a lot when you do that. And that's fine.
You're okay with rejection.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, that's just like, if you're going to put yourself out there a lot, like, surely by numbers, you will get rejected a lot. Like, so I've definitely like asked people out and like not had them reply, or like if I'm like DMing or something. Oh, you just reminded me of one. Okay, right before the pandemic, I went on a date with somebody I really liked and I thought it went pretty well. And then she had a pandemic to lean back on, which was convenient as fuck. Like, literally the whole city shut down. But it became clear that she was not interested, and that really bummed me out, because I don't like really kind of like people that often, and I did like really like her, and I was like, this could be a thing. And she was like, she did not ghost me, she swerved me, I think is what the kids say, where like I wrote a text that was like kind of long, and one of the things that I said was like, hey, the whole city shut down, that's weird, I'd love to keep like chatting or flirting from 6 feet away, or like, I don't, like something like that. And she replied to like every other part of the text except that, like, she just, which I think is like a very decent and clear way of being like, I am not interested in this, but I am being polite, I am maintaining a friendship, like blah blah blah. So that one hurt me. Wow, you dredged that up. I'd forgotten about that. That's a good one.
I think we got a lot of good information out there.
You got a lot of information. I'm not sure if it's good, but like, I feel like there's a, anyone who has listened to this probably has a pretty clear idea.
So who do you want to reach out to you? What if somebody's listening or they have a friend?
Oh, hell yeah.
Who should slide into your DMs?
Anyone who kind of liked what they heard, or is at least like intrigued and wants to like chat a little bit. I move pretty slowly, which again I think is why I feel out of step a lot of the times with the female identified queer community. And as I said, I'm still, they'd have to be chill with the COVID conscious thing, but for that reason I'm also totally open to like people who live whatever, because it's, you know, wherever, because whatever, if we're just going to be chatting or doing virtual stuff at least for a while, then I'm cool with that. Yeah, anyone whose interest is piqued and wants to know more.
And how should people reach you? Should it be over Instagram or?
I will say the absolute best way to get a sense of me, even better than my podcast, is my Twitter.
Yes.
So if people are on Twitter, that's like, I mean, that's me. Like, I make it funnier or more whatever, but it's very close to my actual real life and how I speak and how I think. So I'm at Lauren Flans on Twitter. So that's a great way to reach out. But I know and respect that a lot of people aren't on Twitter. So yeah, I definitely, I get all my Instagram messages. I will see it if someone messages me on Instagram. My Instagram is exclusively my dog, which is a great time. It's like, check out my Instagram. It's just, you will not get a sense of me. You will get a very clear picture of Piero. And so I'm Lauren_Flans on Instagram, because some son of a bitch took Lauren Flans. If you're interested, but you don't know if you want to write me, then I guess listen to, I'd love people to check out the podcast anyway, even if you're like, wow, I would never date this person. Still listen to the podcast. It's really good. And Nicole, my co-host, yes, is very different from me. So like, we have a really good dynamic in terms of, we cover the bases and our guests are great. So we are at Coming Out Pod everywhere, comingoutpod.com. Yeah, and I would love your audience to listen, because I really think they would enjoy it. I'm really proud of what we do with it. And
I think they would too.
Yeah, and it'll also introduce that a lot of our guests are single and looking, and they give their information. So if you're like, absolutely not with me, listen to my podcast and find some people who you'll be like, yes, please. Can I shout out one more thing?
Yeah.
It's looking like probably nothing will happen with this, as is the case with many like self-produced pilots. But with some friends, we shot like a pilot presentation called Butch Pal for the Straight Gal that is like a Queer Eye yes. parody. And I have a lot of trouble watching things I've been in, but I just think this came out so, I think it's so funny. Everyone in it, all the people playing queer are queer, which was important to my friend Allie, who wrote the script and who was also in it. Dot Marie Jones plays my love interest, which is like from Glee, which yep. is like really fun and cool. And I think it's like so funny. It's not like a great way to get to know me because I'm playing a character. And also, I will say, I look better than I do in the pilot because I play like crunchy granola lesbian. So I had no makeup or hair, you guys. So I'm cuter than I am in the pilot. But it's really funny and it's really good. It's on the Roku channel. You don't need a Roku. The Roku channel is the name of the app. It's like Apple TV or Hulu or whatever. And you just search Butch Pal for the Straight Gal. And I just think I think your audience would get a real kick out of it. So that's my final plug.
Definitely. Lauren, this has been so fun.
This was really fun. I feel like I was like a neurotic little neurosis.
Not at all.
Ball. Okay, great.
No. Yeah.
I love getting the chance to talk to Lauren, just an all-around cool person who does so much good for the queer community, and I would love for her to find a girlfriend who is equally or somehow more amazing. And if that's not you or a friend of yours or an enemy of yours, I'm really obsessed with calling out enemies, but I do think we should keep our enemies close. Anyway, you should give her a follow and listen to her pod regardless. Thank you for listening to this episode and this podcast. Please follow me on Instagram at TGI Carolyn and follow the pod account at Loves a Pitch. There you'll see clips and images of all these amazing people who are really putting themselves out there for you week after week. And if you want to support the podcast, support me, help me keep this going so we can make more connections, you can go to patreon.com/lovesapitch. There's all sorts of goodies and benefits you get by becoming part of the patron community over there. Very, very important. If you can't do that, please, please, please go and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Give it 5 stars. Write a nice review if you can. This podcast is produced and edited by Caitlin White, and the music is by Velico. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll be back next week. And in the meantime, I'm going to be plotting my plan to be a true bi-coastal dyke.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.